Have you heard of Raise Them Well? It's our company that we started back when I was pregnant with our second son, Hutch, and we couldn't find the supplements and the trustworthy products that we were really looking for our own family. And so Wiggy and I decided to create our own, and Raise Them Well was born. We provide a lot of different products, including vitamins and supplements for your children, really great magnesium products, prenatal vitamins, and more. So make sure you check out raisethemwell.com for all of those offerings, especially if you're looking to clean up your family's products in the new year and maybe just get a little bit crunchy.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Healthy Discourse. It's Emily here, and I'm super excited to welcome our guest today, Cheryl from the Homeschool How To. Hey Cheryl.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad to talk to you. I am not a homeschooler, but I'm a huge fan of homeschooling, and we do a lot of homeschool ourselves, even though my kids go to a private Christian school. And I just love talking to homeschoolers, and I'm very excited about our conversation today because I love telling people stories as well, and you have a great story about how you arrived to what you guys are doing in your family. And I thought you had some great tips and ideas about things that parents might want to consider, and some of the kind of out of the box, like not necessarily educational specific ideas as far as why some other reasons to homeschool or consider if that might be best for your family. So let's go all the way back because I want to get to your podcast later too. And tell us a little bit about your family and your background and how you became so passionate about homeschooling.
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me. I never thought of myself as a homeschooler. I was very much a part of the, women's like liberal, we're going to school, we're gonna, change the world out in the workforce kind of mentality. And totally looking back on that, it was, put in me from school at a young age. And even my mother, I mean, she worked part-time, but she was always part of the workforce. And it was like that was just kind of what you did, So throughout the years, teachers, it was never like staying home with your kids was never even talked about in school. And I remember my sister staying home with her three kids and thinking, oh my God, like, what do you do all day? And kind of like,
Oh man,
yeah.
yeah.
I had kids later in life and, in my 30s. And when, I got a job in government work for simply because, you go to school and you're told to go to college, and I go to college and do the partying thing. And then it's like, okay, well, you need to graduate because it's like 4 years now and there's no more money left. So I remember going to the dean saying, well, what can I graduate with, as my degree? Here's the courses I've taken. I changed my major like three times. So they said, all right,
Right.
be a communication major. All right. So I took six communication courses in my last semester. And that's what I had.
I
Oddly
hear
enough,
you.
and then now I host a podcast. So it did kind of work out. But I went into government work because that's what my parents did. And nobody had ever along the line said to me, what do you enjoy doing? What are you good at? Let's see what we can make of that. It was just you kind of go through the motions. And I took a civil service exam, got into government work as both my parents had done, and worked my way up through that. And I thought I was doing really well, except I always felt like I was wasting my life away.
Right. Yes, I can identify with this. Yes.
Yeah, sitting in a cubicle every day, and you're pushing emails and papers and all this stuff, and how much of it ever really matters, right? Especially in our government work, it's just layers upon layers of people, and none of it, I can honestly say, after 15 years None of it really matters, you know. The very small, like the people that do the most work are our county workers, and they get paid the least. And it's really just upsetting. And then it's just you extrapolate that by all of the government agencies, and it's, you know, it's just not a fulfilling life. So when I did have kids, I sent my son to daycare, and I went off to work. I wasn't full time, but it started out 3 days a week and then bumped up to four. And I didn't think much of it. And then COVID hit, and we really weren't keen on the masking. He was just at that age where you're, well, one, we just didn't want him to be masked, but two, he was also learning facial expressions and how to talk and speech. And we were like, okay, this is where we draw the line. So we took him out of daycare when they started masking 3-year-olds in New York. And
Oh my
then I was
goodness.
like, okay, we're gonna have to start thinking of alternatives here, because even if you went to private school, they still had the requirements. So that's when I started attending homeschool groups. And I was still like, no, I'm not gonna be a homeschooler. How am I gonna homeschool and work, right?
Right.
So it took going to a lot of homeschool play groups and talking to people everywhere I went. I just kept asking every homeschooling family all these questions, like, do you work and homeschool? How do you make that work? How did you, or if you don't work, did you work before? And how did you part with your career, knowing, like, feeling like, oh, I went to school and did all this stuff, and now I'm just letting it go? How do you go through life knowing that you have a salary, that you could have this salary that you're not making?
Right.
And how do you, with your kids all day, how do your kids
Yeah.
socialize, right? And all these questions. And then I soon came to find out that a lot of, mostly all of that was society programming me to think that way. For instance, you shouldn't have to deal with your kids. If you have kids that you feel that you have to deal with, you probably need to work on raising them better, right? Because like our goal is to like make people that other people enjoy being around, you know?
Right.
And, so
Right.
if you don't enjoy being around them, maybe you have to fix what you're doing. And why do you want other people raising your kids? Like that sort of thing. And the whole mentality of working to make this money when, I mean, for what? So that I can enjoy a pension when I'm 62, but my kids will be long gone. So at that point, you know what, that's when a lot of people, they retire and then they're bored. So it all was kind of unraveling. And then I started putting the questions that I was asking these homeschooling families into a podcast, and I've kind of been
Yeah.
working through that.
I love it. No, I think that's so great. I mean, our podcast started for similar reasons in early 2021 because we just felt like there was so much that needed to be talked about from a different angle. And my husband is an integrative physician. He has a unique perspective, and I love talking about the different sides of all kinds of different things and, you know, getting into the gray area, and that's where the discourse happens, right? And so anyway, that's so great. I love that. So tell, I mean, you have a unique perspective on some of the things that we might want to consider about schooling in general. And, you know, I think I kind of look at schooling as each child for each year. And I have children who are almost 11 down to a 1 month old baby girl who she's 1 month old today as we're recording
Oh,
this. And you're not an
congratulations.
old mom, by the way. I'm 41 and I just had my fifth child. So you are not old. And so there's that. But anyway, I think that it's so important for us to dig into the right now and the long term when it comes to education. And I'm very open about the fact that we love our school, but we question every year, is this still the right place for all of our kids? And fortunately, when it came to masking, the leader of our school really was adamant about not making masks a divisive issue as a Christian school. And so you know, for children whose parents desired exemptions, they were completely great with that. For kids whose parents desired for them to wear masks, that was completely great too. So I'm forever grateful for that. But I realize that that is not the experience that many, many people had. So you had a lot of considerations that you shared with me, just some things like, what kind of lights are they under? And are we making them get up earlier? So I'd love you to dig into some of those kind of health things that we don't necessarily think about. We think about the schooling and the education, the quality of that, which of course matters tremendously, but it's not necessarily the only things to consider when we think about some of the benefits of alternative education. So dive into some of those for us.
Yeah. I mean, as you were mentioning, the fluorescent lights being, and again, with my career too, I was under fluorescent lights all day in a cubicle. And when the kids are under them all day long versus sunlight, I mean, what does that do for our energy levels, our dopamine levels, our vitamin D levels? And then I was on my podcast this morning interviewing someone who was talking about how their child in preschool and kindergarten had iPads that the schools were proud of, that they had students at those young grades on iPads working for part of the day, which I hadn't even realized. I knew, I guess, in high school that they have them, but right. I guess in some schools they're starting them even younger. And when I was telling her how we don't really, like, I had always thought when you think about a screen, yes, they're not good because, you know, you're sedentary while you're looking at it. You're not out running around playing kickball. Okay. So say if you spend 3 hours on them, you're sitting there and that's not good because you need to get your energy out. Right. But that's just one right. little layer. When we start thinking about the amount of screen changes our kids, as their brains are developing, the screen changes on some of this higher technology video games or even television shows, the screens change so much per minute or probably even per second that we don't even realize your brain is making different connections. The synapses are making these connections now, and they're kind of demanding that all day long. So when you are staring at a chalkboard or reading a book or just sitting outside and the screens in front of you, or so to speak, aren't changing, your body is actually getting anxiety and looking for that dopamine hit that it's not getting, because now your sort of your equilibrium has changed on what's normal and what's not. So when you think about screens back when we were kids, and I'll be 40 in a month or two, we were watching Sesame Street. So you didn't have this high technology of 50 screens per second. And I'm making up numbers, but you know, it was one screen because the technology wasn't good. But it's a totally different thing when we think about what the screens are doing to the connections in the children's brains as they're growing. And then that's on top of like the propaganda that the schools are giving. I think everybody is kind of aware of that now. You know, different, clearly you can, it's especially in upstate New York, it's hard to be, you know, a Christian in a public school and be vocal about it. But yet if you were a different gender or sexuality, like that's perfectly acceptable and even encouraged. So it's just this weird dynamic. Hold on.
I'm very curious about that. Pause on that, because I'm in North Carolina, I have the perception that upstate New York is far more conservative. But maybe it depends on where you are. So is that not true? I'm just curious.
It's funny. And it's funny that you think that, because most people just think of New York in itself as just a city, but it is country. Yeah. Like I have a country, a farm across the street from me, but it's still in the schools. There are books about different genders and all that the small Podunk Town school library that I'm in, that my brother-in-law just sent me, you know, what his daughter had seen in the library. And from what my nephew says is there are people dressing up as cats, and, you know, you wonder what the reasoning for it is, but it's here. It's not just in the inner city school.
Okay. That's interesting. And I mean, it's fairly similar here, I will say. I mean, we're in a small city here, but it's definitely happens in our city. But even we if you drive 20 minutes, you're in the country. And it's just interesting that it's not the same, very similar. It's not just, you know, exclusively in the city. So as far as what our kids are being exposed to and libraries. And in fact, we have an 18-year-old, she's not our daughter, but she's like a daughter who lives with us when she's not at college. And she sent me a picture of the young adult section at Barnes and Noble last week. And I was like, oh my goodness gracious. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. But
yeah,
I think exposure to all the things and just screens in general are not my favorite thing. And I fully agree with you that what is happening in school, especially, we don't have control over that as parents. And so whereas we can watch like a hawk at home and be cautious about that, even the lights and that side of things aside, it's pretty crazy what all is happening sometimes. So
yes. And in addition, I'm a big proponent of the show The High Wire with Del Bigtree, and the episode he released last Thursday, so today is November 22nd, so this would have been around November 15th or 16th. There was a group on there, I want to say there are Moms Across America, but his show is titled Mighty Moms. And this group of women were discussing how they were going into schools and seeing what they were providing for school lunch. And there's a lot of schools that offer fast food. And like they have contracts with McDonald's, Panera, In-N-Out. They had a bunch of others. And this group of women, the organization, tested these food items. And they were all coming back with toxins in them, heavy metals. The worst were the fruits and vegetables that they were providing because of the pesticides and everything that's sprayed on them. And I mean, I'm guilty. I need to change my ways and go more, which is why I was looking into Raise Them Well, looking at products that are much more healthy for our family, because it's so funny. You think that with school, they're giving our kids the best, especially with what we all pay in our school taxes. And it's just not the case.
No, I think that, especially in the public schools, I think here in particular, it's a lot of packaged foods for sure. And I mean, during COVID, all of the money that was going toward, you know, providing kids with food here, it was all in plastic packages and heavily processed, which of course, yes, we need to help people have food that don't have food, especially in crisis times. But we can do better, especially as you mentioned, considering how much we're paying for those things. And so, it's all comes down to the whole follow the money. And, you know, why is everything that is funded federally or through our states, you know, you have to work with X, Y, and Z vendors and that sort of thing, which inflates the cost of everything beyond where they already are even. And it doesn't truly make sense as far as, is this what's best for our kids or for us for that matter?
Yeah. I mean, well, as a government worker, I can tell you it's because of deals and buddies and, you know, golf buddies and brother-in-laws. Sure. Like, that's how deals are made. I'm not afraid to say it. And, you know, Cuomo was, my governor for a long time, and I saw it firsthand.
Yeah. Wow. So also you talk about how important just activity is. And I know that's one of the things I love about our school. Our kids get to move a lot and be outside a lot, but that is not the case in public school. Certainly here, I think that kids have like 20 minutes for lunch and short recess and PE maybe like once a week. That's it. And so, especially little bodies. I have four boys and now a baby girl, and need to move. We employ a lot of outside time in our family. They've been outside all day today, in fact. And we're fortunate to live in a place with a fairly mild climate, but being asked to sit in a chair all day and not move is not realistic for most kids, especially little boys.
Especially when you combine it with the screen time and you know, so what their body's needing and the food that is getting put into their body, schedule that P people feel they need to, you know, keep up with as far as after school sports and, you know, this and that. And you don't have time for these home cooked meals with organic food, you know. I'm guilty of it too. And it's like, of course they're going to need ADD medicine. Come on.
Yes, you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
And I probably have at least one child, if not two, that could easily be diagnosed with ADD, but we're not doing that. So
I say that to my son all the time. If you were in public school, they would have you on some sort of medication, because yes, he cannot, and he's five. He's not meant to sit, right? You know, I talk to a lot of people that do the unschooling approach, which like mm-hmm. I love. I'm just not, I think I have too much OCD to actually like unschool and really just, hey, let's be free. And, you know, I feel like nothing would get done, but.
Yeah, I could never do that either. I mean, I could not do for sure.
Yeah. It's for people that are like much more, maybe that don't have the synapses connected from the screens, you know, they're just more laid back and go with the flow. And I respect that, but I'm not that way. But
I'm a recovering type A because I have too many children to be type A. So I'm great with being not, but yeah, I could never do that part, but I appreciate it. I do think there's a place for it. It's just not for me. So.
Yeah. But having the kids outside, even if you're doing a curriculum with them, you can go outside and just have the fresh air. And yeah, we're in upstate New York, so it's harder here, but you just got to get the wool socks and the right clothes. I read a book called There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather. And it's true. You know, you just got to get the right stuff. And I should have gotten out there today, but it's all rainy and gross, but my son did get out. So that's nice. But yeah, you know, people do need fresh air, sun, and another thing that the woman I interviewed this morning, she said to be grounded with the earth. Have your shoes on and be on the grass. Find grass if it still exists. Just stand in the grass without shoes on. And I never thought about that before, not much at least. And that is so important.
Yes. Yes, it's so important. And I think, you know, just being able to foster things toward the child is so important as well. And knowing their strengths, their weaknesses, what their interests are, what they hope to do. And I actually, it's funny, I feel like a lot of people homeschool their kids when they're little, and then they send them off when they get older. And I feel like if I do anything, it will be the opposite, because that's just, you know, being able to cater the experiences to what the child is interested in and what their future may hold as well. And, you know, and I think that's something you've mentioned too, things that are interesting and that are appropriate for the child's level of achievement thus far, rather than, well, they're in third grade, so this is what they have to do.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing I've learned since interviewing homeschooling families on my podcast has been that there is not a set of criteria that every child must know by certain ages. And that was really big for me, because I'm like, well, where's the pamphlet that says what he has to know by the end of kindergarten and the end of third grade and the end of 11th grade? And I couldn't find it. And I'd ask families and they're like, no, it doesn't exist. You can tailor the education to anything that they want, and they can still, if college is what you long for your child, that can still happen even if they haven't jumped through all the hoops. I know we have SATs and different tests in New York. There's Regents exams, but I think, you know, we're in this little bubble. We think, well, if you didn't take your Regents exam, then you can't get into college. But there are other states that don't require a Regents exam, and kids are going to college there. So you kind of have to think outside the box and expand, you know, what you think about education. And if your child at 12 years old really is into the trades or music, you can totally tailor their education to that and go, you know, I'm really big into the trades. I talk a lot on my podcast about how my husband is in commercial HVAC, and how it just seeps into everything, electrical and all this sort of stuff. And these are things that are lost on the youth today. And I know in my school, going through school, it was belittled, you know, to go into, it's called the BOCES program in New York. And it's like, oh, that's not for the smart kids, you know, which is so backwards, because what my husband has to know to, like, he works on chillers for hospitals, for jails, for schools. If he does anything wrong, the place could blow up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if an OR chiller goes out in the middle of an operation, yeah, bad things can happen. So, or even if something isn't connected right, the steam could just completely, you know, come out of it and kill somebody. So yeah, these are the things that we really need people who know what they're doing to do, and to have it where you either an apprenticeship, you don't need the college at all, you can learn on the job, or as an apprentice or an intern, or to go to a 2-year trade school. It's something we really should consider with our youth.
Yes, absolutely. And that's something that we're passionate about here too. I tell my kids all the time, every time we have someone that needs to come fix something at our house, which I feel like is frequent recently, I'm like, hey, they have their own business and they came here for 30 minutes and look at this check I just wrote to them. You know, mm-hmm. like, if you know mm-hmm. business and a trade, if you can be a good business person, then you will be set, because people are not going into these trades like they used to. And because we don't value them. I do think that that is shifting a little bit for the better, which I'm grateful for, at least in our area, it seems to be, but we need a lot more. And there's so many opportunities out there for whatever the skill set is. And honestly, you know, I feel like as parents, we work so hard to instill values in our kids, and then we pay to send them to college where they undo all of that. Not that that's not as simple as what I just said, but it's kind of not wrong either. So there are still some good schools out there, but I think more often than not, that's the experience of many of my friends that have sent their kids off to college. So that's something that we really have to consider too.
Yeah, it was even my experience 20 years ago. You know, I went into America is so bad and da, da, da. Yeah, there are things that are bad, but name a country that didn't have and that didn't do anything bad, right? How far have we come? And they were really demoralizing our country 20 years ago in college.
And I think too, I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot, just getting ready for Thanksgiving, and the narratives around that is like, show me, like you said, a perfect country or a perfect leader for that matter. Mm-hmm. Someone that was a good leader that had no character flaws at all. Those people don't exist. And that's what's so interesting about investigating and learning and studying is like, each of us is sinners with our own sin struggle, and not to excuse that, but it's just very interesting to learn about, you know, how God uses imperfect people to do really great things. And so that's mm-hmm. just something I think we need to focus on too. And like, that's kind of the part of homeschooling that we do. We do a lot of critical thinking. I assign my kids reading. They don't always love that. We do a lot of biblical apologetics at our house and that type of thing that's supplemental to their education that they're getting outside of our four walls. But like I said, mm-hmm. I'm never sold that this is what we're going to do forever, because it's each child for each year. And I think that parents, need to know and understand that better, because I think we feel like whatever we're signing up for is forever, and it doesn't have to be. So mm-hmm. It really just doesn't have to be. So the other thing that's happening, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's what we have talked about on my podcast too, is that, okay, you can try this. If it doesn't work, what's the worst that happens? You send them back to school. I mean, it's you can do it. Anytime, or vice versa. If you send them to school and you don't like it, you can always change schools or bring them home. So you're totally right. It's not like if you homeschool and send them into school that you failed. It's not that at all. And That's your pressure that you're putting on yourself. So you have to take it off. You have to work through what's best for your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's okay. And I think giving ourselves that permission can be hard. Either way, right? It goes both ways. Like, and children change so much between kindergarten and, I mean, I only have gone from kindergarten to fifth grade now, and that's certainly not the same exact child. So, and that's okay. So, tell us a little bit more about the types of topics that you cover on your podcast, because I definitely want to link to that in our show notes today.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. So I've talked with moms who are homeschooling and working and how they make that balance work. I've talked to moms who maybe were homeschooling but couldn't really find the right groups, like any sort of homeschooling group that they attended. They didn't feel that they fit in. So how they kind of took that and formulated their own project and group and saw that through. Moms who have completed the homeschooling journey with, three, five kids and did it back before it was kind of the in thing. And what they're doing with their life now and how they look back on it and the recommendations they, have passed on. And I've also talked to moms who are just starting out and scared and not knowing if that's the path that they'll stay on forever, but kind of like their thinking through process and different curriculums that they're trying. I have talked to people who let's see, well, I love having the conspiracy people on, and talk about, we're planning for, we're getting cows and chickens and all that. And if we have to live on a little farm, a commune, we can do that. That's always fun. And yeah, so all sorts of topics. It's been really eye-opening. Yeah, I've been floored. The interview I had this morning was a woman who had cancer and how cancer has influenced her homeschooling or impacted her reasoning for homeschooling. So that was a really interesting topic.
Super fun. I love that. That's great. And then I'm very curious because I actually haven't asked you this. What did you see with Raise Them Well that you found interesting or that made you curious about the products? Because that's how we originally connected.
Yes. So there's someone that I follow on Instagram that will post things that say, like, do not use these products. And I just found that every time I looked at her posts, I was like, oh my gosh, that's something else I use. That's something else I use. That's something else I use. And you never realize the toxins that are in everything. And there are going to be toxins in our lives, like, no matter what. Because everywhere from the food we eat to what's sprayed on them, before it comes in our house to what's genetically modified in a lab before it even goes into the ground, before it's even sprayed, and, to the clothing that we wear, to the soaps we use, to the deodorant with the aluminum, to vaccines, to
The
everything, to
list
the
is
water
never
we
ending.
drink. It's never ending. So I really was like, okay, how can I start to peel back the layers of this to, we're not going to be able to alleviate everything, but what can I control? So certain things, I found your products looking for more holistic, natural, pure, clean products that I can use with my children and feel safe about it and know, like, I'm not giving them cancer. Because it's they're gonna get different exposures from other places. So what can I control?
And we try to keep things really simple too, because I don't know about you, but there are things that I prioritize a lot, but like I can't do it my do everything myself. Like I can't I, we have a really great toxic-free cleaner that is called Clean It Well that everyone loves, but like I can't make my own everything. Like I'm just never going to do that. And so versus compromising where I don't want to compromise, it's like this makes it a lot easier. So That's awesome. Well,
Yeah.
I thank you so very much for joining us. And I hope that you guys have a wonderful holiday season. I look forward to connecting more. And just thank you so much for spreading the word. I'm excited to go listen to some of those episodes you shared. I was scrolling earlier and very interested in several of them. So I'll link to your podcast. And
Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing a little bit about your journey. I think that we love telling personal stories here because I think they're the most powerful, and it's just so great to be able to share.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, to anyone who's questioning if they should homeschool or not, yeah, take a listen to the podcast. It seems overwhelming at first, but it's really more simple, you know, than it sounds. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It doesn't have to be planning a curriculum for a school year like a teacher does, because the reason that you're choosing something different is so that it looks different. So I'll just leave you with that and have a wonderful holiday season, and congratulations to you on the new baby.
Thank you so much. You too. I'll look forward to connecting soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Emily. Bye-bye.